This oral history is brought to you with the support of Guttman students and staff and funded by the American Council of Learned Societies and the Mellon Foundation. Enjoy.
Hello?
This call is being recorded.
Hi. Hi, Jenny.
Hi. Today I'll be interviewing you. Thank you for... Okay, so my name is Jennifer Lucero, and I am interviewing Maris Lucero in my home over the phone on July 29th, 2020. You give me permission to record this oral history?
Yes.
Okay. Where are you from?
I was born in Brooklyn.
Okay, can you tell me a little bit about how you... or your family ended up in New York City?
So my parents immigrated here from Mexico. I was the second born child here. I'm the second out of four in our family. We've lived in Brooklyn our whole life. Do you want me to say more, or is that okay?
No, that's good.
Okay.
So before the protests began against police brutality back in May 2020, what was your opinion on police?
I always felt that there was some issue with, like, the police and the system in general. I think growing up and having grown up in an immigrant family and being Latina myself, I've seen a lot of discrimination. I've experienced discrimination myself. Whether it was from, like, a police authority or just authority in general. So I think that I have always had maybe a bit of a bias in feeling that because I am a person of color, I am treated a certain way. So I think when the protest started, it just kind of reinforced that. And seeing the videos of everything that was happening really got to me and just makes you think a lot about everything that doesn't get captured, but is still occurring, and all the discrimination and violent acts that people are subjected to and aren't recorded and aren't, and like the police that do this aren't held accountable.
So do you think everything you said right now is like a part of the reason why the protests have begun to erupt?
Yeah, I think that, like, with my generation and the new generation, like, we want to make change happen. Like, I think everything has been, you know, going in a certain direction. Like, I think a lot of different systems are very bureaucratic, and the people at the top with the most power don't necessarily make changes that will bring about change. And I think that we're just tired, and it's time to really create change and not just say it and it to be a trending topic, but for real change to happen in all different types of systems, health system, police system, political. I mean, just even with the president that we have now, it's just insane. It's just crazy to me.
Yeah. So do you have any personal experience you'd like to share in which you encountered the police before or since May 2020?
Well, the protests that I participated in were all peaceful protests. I think that it was a good experience for me to see just because, you know, I feel like the media was showing one side or, like, being biased towards one side, when in reality, the protests were not about looting. The protests were not about violence. The protests were about making a statement and standing with, you know, the Black community who is most targeted by police. Again, like, as a person of color, I include myself in that group because it's always kind of been a target on Black and Latino community. So I think going to the protest just kind of showed me, you know, reinforced that, you know, we're trying to make a positive and peaceful movement, but also that, you know, what the media was showing, that it was so violent and things wasn't necessarily always true. I think that the police also seem very guarded, and a lot of them look nervous, so I do feel bad because I don't think that every single police officer is bad. I don't think that every single police officer is racist or, you know, intentionally does these things, but I think that the majority have shown some type of behavior that unfortunately now is just being attached to the label of a police officer.
So you think, like, you know, in comparison to viewing the protest through a TV screen or a phone, it really, like, changes your perspective when you're actually there?
I think it does. And I think, if anything, I mean, it was emotional enough for me to see the videos online and on TV. But then I think also just being there and being surrounded by so many people that we share the same belief of, like, wanting to create a change, it just feels empowering, and also it was very emotional. I think that, you know, when we were saying everybody's name of the people that passed away, it was very emotional. And, you know, when people started chanting, like, I can't breathe, again, it was emotional for me because I can't wrap my mind around the idea that someone could be choking someone with their knee and hearing someone yelling for help, saying, like, please, I can't breathe, and not react. Like, that just doesn't even seem human to me. So I do think that going to the protest was very different than watching it on TV, and it just made me feel like at least, like, I'm there and supporting. Of course, like, you don't have to go to the protest to support the movement, but for me, like, it felt like something I wanted to and needed to do.
Yeah. In your perspective, how has this movement helped give a voice to the Black community?
I was actually thinking about that because I think it's been, like, 2 full months of, like, nonstop protesting, and I think, you know, this happened before. I think it was around 2005 that, like, protests started, but it didn't go as strong as now. And I think that today, like, with day and age, with media and, like, social networking and, like, online and, like, internet access, it really helps to spread awareness past New York, past the United States, but, like, globally. And the fact that people in other countries, like Germany and, you know, were, like, protesting as well, and going out into the streets and, like, talking about their own racism in their own countries also is just a sign that, like we've had enough. Like, we've had enough. And I think with, like, the millennial generation and generation Z or X, oh my God, I think I was thinking of. But, you know, I think it's going to finally bring about change. And, of course, it's going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight, but change is going to happen. And I actually just got off a meeting from my job. I work in a hospital, and they actually just had a whole town hall talking about how they're going to address the racism that employees have reported, and the address the diversity in positions of power. So I was really happy to see that, and my manager told me that in the 20 years that she's worked there, this conversation has never come up. So I think it's an example of how this is truly going to create a rippling effect over the years.
Yeah. I think it's great that you're in your job, you're having those conversations. It's important.
Yeah.
No, I wanted to ask you, what did it take to make you want to get involved in these protests?
I mean, I don't know. I think I was just upset. And I think that all the videos that were coming up were very, like, triggering for me. And I just, honestly, I was angry. I was angry that this was happening. I was angry that people are okay with this. Angry that people would defend murderers and not take any action. I mean, if that video of, like, Ahmaud never came out, like, the police had covered it all up. And on top of the fact that he was innocently killed, they had, like, accused him of, like, a crime and stuff.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until it went viral that other people spoke out and said what they saw, and the video was released. So I was just angry and upset, and I decided to try to be a part of it in whatever way I could.
So do you think your opinion of protests, like before May, did your opinion of protest movements like change compared to now?
Did my opinion of protest movements change?
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, I think that, I don't know, I have a mixed opinion on protests a lot of the time because I think, like, and just getting older, like, I see how much needs to be done, how many policies, legislations, and things need to be passed. And I know that a protest can't just change that, but I think it's a step in the right direction for sure. And I think it's important for all of us to voice our opinions and take a stand and say, like, we're not going to take this. And I think that that is why protests are so important.
Yeah.
I think, like, I've heard a lot of people say, like, the protest isn't going to change anything. Like, that's not true. Like, it's not true. Like, it's a start, It's showing your voice, it's stating your opinions, and, basically saying, like, that's it. Like, we're not taking more,
Yeah. What do you think about the cops' response to protests?
I mean, I think there was a mix of responses. I mean, I think, again, it's hard to say, like, an unbiased answer because I think a lot of us only have the media to see, like, certain actions that were taken. But I do think that, police overuse force, I think that there has to be more training that goes into that specific department. I mean, we're supposed to count on these people to defend and protect us. We can't fear them, We can't have to double think, should I call 911? Because next thing you know, like, you're the one getting assaulted or something by an officer. So I do think that there's an abuse of power. I think brute force is used way too often, and I think that there's definitely bias in who gets treated a certain way. A person of color being arrested is not going to be nicely asked to turn around and put their handcuffs on. Automatically, you see that brute force comes in versus when you see arrest of, like, white people, or, like, even like with the school shootings, like, when they would arrest, the shooter if they didn't commit suicide at the end, like, they're, like, calmly, like, putting on handcuffs after they just killed people, literally just killed people, and they're being handled with care. But a person, like, I don't know, does, like, a minor offense and they're being tackled to the floor and killed, it makes no sense. And the only differences in those instances, unfortunately, is the color of the skin.
And I wanted to mention, like, while these protests have been going on around the world, we still have a pandemic going on as well. Like, and it has definitely impacted many lives. So how do you think the coronavirus has impacted these protests?
How the coronavirus has impacted the protests.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I was personally a little bit torn about that because I knew that as someone who, like, wants to go into, like, public health, I was like, well, I feel like I'm betraying my public health person because I'm going to a protest. But also, actually the protest that I attended, like, everyone had masks on. They were actually handing out masks if you needed one to make sure that everyone was wearing one. There was hand sanitizer. And while social distancing wasn't followed in, like, the protest I went to, I mean, I felt okay, and it was like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like everybody was wearing a mask. I do have mixed opinions, but I don't know. And how it has imp you said how coronavirus has impacted the protest?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess just maybe even less people showing up. I know that there's a lot of people that have pre-existing conditions that put them at a higher risk. So I would say that probably a lot of people didn't participate for that reason. And, you know, just for fear and for wanting to follow, you know, stay at home orders and things like that.
Yeah. And also, how has the coronavirus changed your life?
The coronavirus changed my life?
Yeah.
Well, I work from home now, so I definitely feel more isolated. I started a new job, actually, right in March, so I didn't get to meet any of my coworkers or my supervisor probably until the beginning of May is when I finally was asked to go into the office and I started to meet like one or two of my coworkers. So it has been an isolating feeling. I also don't live with my family, so you know, when we were quarantined, I literally was in an apartment by myself. So that wasn't fun. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. I think that the whole pandemic has just made me feel isolated. And just, you know, especially when, you know, it was strict orders and everything shut down at 8, you know, I wasn't seeing anyone. So all I had was, like, my phone and my computer. And, you know, you miss human interaction. And also for my job, I work with cancer patients, so I haven't really been able to meet a lot of like the new patients that are referred to us. So it changes the interaction and the relationship that I have with them.
Yeah.
And I got sick, and that was not fun. I actually did have COVID back in March, and I tested positive for the antibodies in April. And I did the COVID test, and it came back negative.
That's good. I also want to ask you, what do you think about your mayor's response to protests that began in May 2020?
I have to remember what he said. What do you mean? Like, with regard to what? Like, which comments?
Well, how he has responded throughout, like, all the protests that are now going on.
I mean, I have to be honest in saying that I don't remember exactly what he was saying because I don't have a TV, so I don't watch the news that often. I'm not entirely sure what to answer. I mean, I think that he was basically saying, you know, to be safe. And I know that there was, like, a lot of controversy with, like, is this going to impact COVID and make the rates increase and things like that. But from what I saw from the protests, at least the ones I attended, everyone was, like, wearing a mask and had sanitizer. It wasn't like, you know, a free run around,
yeah,
coughing and like all this stuff. Yeah.
What do you think about President Trump, like his response to the protest?
Well, I think that he was obviously biased. I think that, like, he was okay with, like, conservatives protesting and, like, executing, like, what they were calling, like, their freedom of speech. And, like, the protests that, like, that were counteracting the Black Lives Matter movement, like, the people in those protests weren't wearing masks, weren't social distancing, were walking out with guns in their hands. And they were never, like, met with any, like, brute force or pepper spray. I mean, thinking back to it, it was crazy. Like, in some cities, people protesting for Black Lives Matter were being literally shot at with rubber bullets just for protesting. And most of them were peacefully protesting. Of course, like, then there were people that took advantage of the situation and started looting. And of course, our lovely president then labeled that as the protest. So I think he had a poor response. I think he makes it, like, he's made people feel comfortable being openly racist to others because he openly says discriminatory comments and thinks that that's okay. And he does not apologize for anything. I mean, even with COVID, calling it the Chinese virus. And then I remember one time I heard, like, a clip of what he said, and he was like, no, I'm not going to stop calling it the Chinese virus. I mean, what type of president do we have? It's like we have a child, you know?
So you think it's possible that President Trump may be dividing the country even more so than before it was?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I think his presidency has just made it more obvious of how many racist people there truly are in our country. It's just that now they feel comfortable being openly racist.
Yeah.
They don't feel like they need to hide.
And how have protests in the context of the coronavirus shifted the way you think race in America?
I mean, I think that I've always thought that humans are very divided over race. I think that race matters way too much, like, in general, like, in the world, but especially in this country. I think that there's not equal opportunities for all races. And can you repeat the question? I don't know if I answered it.
How have protests in the context of the coronavirus shifted the way you think race in America?
Shifted the way I think of race in America?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's so much shifted. I think that in a way I still see it the same because, again, like, going back to, like, I feel like ever since Trump got into power, more people felt very comfortable making racial comments and thinking that it's okay. So I think it didn't necessarily shift, I would say, but I think the protests and everything just gave us more of a voice.
Yeah. How would you like to see this movement resolve?
I mean, I think it has to be systematic change. It's the only way. There has to be systematic change across the country, and people have to be open to learning and being anti-racist, not just saying I'm not racist, but being anti-racist and calling out other people. And I think, you know, we all need to check ourselves and ask ourselves, like, are we, like, subconsciously holding, you know, stereotypes or judgment towards other cultures and races?
Yeah.
I think we all have to do the work.
What role do you play in achieving that outcome?
What role do I play?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll call out people. I think that I call out my friends if I ever feel like, you know, jokingly they make a comment or something. And I'm not talking about, like, a racist comment. I'm talking about, like, more, like, giving into stereotypes and things like that. Because I think a lot of times, you know, even comedians, like, try to use that. Which, I don't know, then it's, like, you have to watch with all of that. And, I mean, I try my best to treat everyone equally and be aware of myself. And I don't know. I guess if that counts.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your time. That was the questions I had for you today.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye. Okay, bye. Okay, bye.